Blog Talk Radio.
We're gonna stop, but now you have fallen asleep. Yeah, you were. My name is Yamsoup Arif. First, before I get started, and this is the Real Talk for Real Peep Show, I want to give praise and thanksgiving to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for looking after Yamsoup Arif today. I was talking to Katria, and I made mention. I was coming from the Red Cross in Memphis. I had to get on this E-Way expressway. Coming back, then I stopped off at a gas station for a bite of eat of chicken. Jumped right back into my vehicle. And probably from at that juncture, I was probably about, you know, maybe about 3-4 miles from the house or less. And then the vehicle rolled fine and got my items at the truck, went into the house, came back out about several minutes later, and the driver's side front wheel was flat in a donut, just like somebody had taken the air out of it, or maybe had the air held into it. But, you know, it is very difficult when you're driving a pickup truck at a high rate of speed, and if there's a blowout, especially on the driver's side, the prospect of you having serious damage to yourself and or the vehicle, because it's very difficult to control the vehicle, it's just like jerking the steering wheel out of your hand with a blowout like that. So I have to give all praises and thanksgiving to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for protecting me. Because as I said, it's like somebody had unplugged it, was holding the air into it, and as soon as I got into safety, all right, he's safe now. You know. So I want to give all praises and thanksgiving to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for looking after Yamsoup Arif. See, we don't count our blessings. We always look for the big picture. Give me that. But then little things like that, your very life. And just like we pray for our very life and our protection from this coronavirus, and we take these things for granted. But you're here, and you all be thankful, and you all be praising the Most High that you are not tested positive. Instead of crying, hey, man, you know, I ain't got no money, I ain't got this. What? Be thankful for what you got, okay? Because you can get all those things you're talking about, but you can't get your life back. So I'm very appreciative of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for looking after Yamsoup. Shows me he must like me a little bit, right? Because I could have been out of here. Yeah, I could have been out of here. But I guess he wants me here. And as long as I'm here, I want to do something constructive and positive. I want to love on our people. I want to help encourage our people. I want to motivate our people. I want to help lead our people in the right directions. And I want to help people stop leaning to their own understanding. And I want to say one more thing before we get into our studies. I'm against anyone placing their feet on our necks universally and collectively. And they've been doing that since our very arrival here. So this police officer in Minnesota hadn't did anything new as far as that is concerned, placing their feet on our necks till we either die or suffer the consequences. So, and no, they should be held accountable. I concur with the brothers and sisters in Minnesota. But we should be equally angry and irate when we kill one another too. We should stop taking these matters for granted. We are special in the eyes of the Most High. Rather, a police officer on the side of the oppressor team kills one of us, or whether we kill one of us, okay? So don't get it twisted. So we all be just as irate if one among our ranks kill one of us, okay? It's true. Well, have you got your maps? You got your books? We're going to do some in-depth study. A lot of people like to say Ezra is a minor prophet. Who said that? I don't see nowhere that the Most High said Ezra or any one of the prophets are minor. I don't care if they had a little short chapter. I don't care if they had one or two chapters. Whenever you speak for the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's no designation as to a minor or major. They're just prophets of the Most High. And I see them in that term, and everything they have to say in regards to the Most High is very important to me. And I suggest that it should be very important to you. We shouldn't stop taking these prophets for granted. Because all of these prophets have something to tell us, to encourage us, to motivate us, to help us to stop leaning to our own understanding. And so we can get a clear perspective of our relationship with our Creator, a clear perspective with our relationship with one another, a clear perspective with our relationship with our oppressors, and the who, what, when, where, and a how, as to how we must and should comport ourselves to solidify that relationship with our Creator and each other. That's why I say our relationships with one another and our love for one another should be one for all and all for one. And yes, I have a problem with police officers on the enemy side killing us. Undercover police, pretending to be police officers in uniform, but really they are nothing but killers. Whom kill us? Yeah, I got a problem with that. But I have a major problem, too, when we kill one another. And we shouldn't take these matters lightly. Killing our sisters, killing our young folk, killing our children with all these drive-bys and this domestic violence. Yes, I got a big problem with that, too. So if I am irate over the police officer in Minnesota killing one of our brothers, I am irate also when we kill one another. It's just that simple. Well, have you got your maps out? Let's get started. You turn the light on. Chapter 5, brothers and sisters. Chapter 5. I'm going to give you a few minutes. And I'm going to get me another bottle of water while y'all going there, okay? Be right back. I'm going to give some time to get there. It's okay. All right. I'm back. All righty. So if you're ready, all praises to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And also, may the Most High bless you, listeners, by the reading and the study of His Word. When the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Yehudites who were in Yehuda and Jerusalem in the name of the Elohim of Israel, who was over them. So, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak. Let me say that again. So, Jozadak rose up and began to build the house of the Elohim, Yah, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of Yah were with them, helping them. At the same time, Tataniah, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shatar and Bozina and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them, "Who have commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall?" Then accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing this building. But the eye of our Elohim was upon the elders of the Yehudites, so that they could not make them cease till a report could come from Darius. This is over a period of time. Remember that the other king, Axerai, had told him to stop it. Now, here, in between, there was other kings. Now, here's Darius. They had resumed. And here's King Darius in lead. And Queen Esther was married to one of those kings in between. So even though we're dealing with a sliver of our history, this is just one component, one part of our history. There was a whole lot of things going on at different times in our history. See, if you read from one book to one book, you would think it was in a linear passion, a linear concept, and things were going from one prophet to the other and to the other. No, it was not linear. It was just a whole lot of components going on at the same time, a whole lot of prophesying, a whole lot of living life and whatnot, and so on and so forth, which makes up the complete part of our history. And this is just one sliver, one story, and a component of a universal story that was going on in our history, okay? And it was not linear, you know, that means going from one point to the other. It was just a smorgasbord of things going on at the same time. And he says, Darius, but the eye of their Elohim was upon the elders of the Yehudites, so they could not make them cease till a report could go to Darius, King Darius. Then a written answer was returned concerning the matter. And this is a copy of the letter that Tantaniah sent to the king, King Darius, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shittar and Bosniah and his companions, the Persians. You know, they had resettled the land with a whole lot of different tribes had resettled in the land. And that's what people have a tendency to do back in that time. When they conquered the people, they would take the people out of their land and resettle them somewhere else and take other people they would conquer and resettle them there. That's why you got things looking like they are in Egypt, not looking like the Egyptians on those walls and the tombs and whatnot. And folks over there in so-called Israel, not looking like us, okay? So they had a tendency of resettlement. And as far as that is concerned, we didn't have an opportunity to resettle. We was running. We was running. So we didn't have a time to be, I mean, it's during the latter part of our history over there in the land. We didn't have an opportunity to be resettled, a permanent resettlement, as I said, after the Roman sack of Jerusalem in 70 AD, we was running. So, like a dog with our tails between our legs, we were running. So we didn't have an opportunity for resettlement. We was running across Africa, all over Africa, anywhere we go, get away from them Romans. And let me finish reading the word of the Most High. I do digress sometimes, but I try to keep it all together. And in the letter sent to King Darius, they sent a letter to him in which was written thus: to Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we went to the province of Yehuda, to the temple of the great Elohim, Yah, which is being built with heavy stones and timber, is being laid in the walls. And this work goes on diligently, this resumption of the work, and prosper in their hand. They getting it going on. And when we asked those elders and spoke to us, to them, who command you to build the temple and to finish these walls? We also asked them their names to inform you to snitch on, to snitch, to inform you that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them, the instigators, so to speak. And thus they returned us an answer, saying, we are the servants of the Elohim Yah of heaven. We are his servants in earth. We are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which is a great king of Israel built and completed. But because our fathers provoked the Elohim of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the Chaldeans, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of the Elohim Yah. Also, the gold and the silver articles of the house of the Elohim Yah, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried them into the temple of Babylon. Those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to the one named Sashbazar, whom he made governor. And he said to him, take these articles, go carry them to the temple site that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of the Elohim Yah be rebuilt on the former site. Then the same Sashbazar came and laid the foundation of the house of the Elohim Yah, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time, even until now, it has been under construction. It's not finished. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the king's treasury, where he kept his information, his archives, which is there in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build this house of the Elohim Yah at Jerusalem. And let the king send us his pleasure concerning this matter. You know, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you even halfway trying to do it right, you're going to always have folk meddling. I get them all the time, especially on food. But folks ain't got time to do the right thing when they see right thing in your regard when they see you doing the right thing. They ain't got time to do, especially when they don't want to do the right thing. Have you noticed that, brothers and sisters, in your own personal lives and observation? When you doing right, at least halfway right, they got always got something wrong to say about you. He doing it, she doing that. Well, what she did? Well, I just don't like the way she looked. Well, what did she say? Well, I don't like her attitude. Well, did she say anything to you? No, but I heard she said this about this and that and the other. You see what I'm getting at? It's crying shame the way some of us are. We are a hot mess. That being said, listeners, that concludes that chapter. We will continue on with the word and the reading of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob tomorrow, if the Most High is willing. But I'm going to play a lovely song. I'm going to have my brother, Cartrell, comes on, and Eva Hardora. And we're going to continue on in our studies. The Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our brothers and sisters, and our enemies. That being said, enjoy this lovely song. I'll be right back. Thank you, now. May the Most High bless you.
Understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I see the edgy, I want you to know I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems and I get more than my share. But that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Don't you know I have faults like anyone? Sometimes I find myself alone, regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be misunderstood.
All right, all right. Lovely piece of tone by Nina Simone. This is Real Talk for Real People. My name is Yamsouf Arif. Without further ado, let me bring my brother on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Shalom. Your mic is high.
41 of Israel. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yamsouf Arif. May the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Thank you very much, my brother. Your prayers did help me, and I'm very appreciative.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what we're here for, man. Look out for each other. Give, you know, praise and honor to our Creator who hears our prayers and sends out His guardian angels to protect us. But
true.
Your heart's got to be right.
Yeah, you got to be on the right team. Now, you got, he ain't sending Mike out to help you when you ain't right. I suspect. You know what I mean? No, I don't think it worked that way.
I just want to know, why are you speeding in a pickup truck?
Well, I wasn't speeding. The speed limit was 55.
Okay.
Now, you can go up to 60, and the police officer won't mess with you. And I was at 60, okay? Because they ain't going to give you no ticket if you're just going 5 miles over, okay? So I was going about 60, okay?
Okay, you made it through. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, these prophets are important. We see that he mentions Hagar and Zechariah in the chapter.
Exactly. Exactly.
So they was almost like rubbing shoulders with each other, trying to get our people right. And the Most High was with them because he commands us to return to him, to acknowledge your sin, to repent, and do it my way. Don't follow the ways of the nations. So these men stepped up to the plate. These are the leaders who were in captivity, who had the opportunity to go back to the land based on the kindness of the king and the oppressors that allowed them to do that. And you're talking about Cyrus and Darius. These kings got to be given credit that they would allow the Israelites to go back to their land and restore the house of the Most High. But they had records. You can see that they had records, and they kept records. And we had records, they had records, and they knew our records, and we knew their records. So you got to keep records. That's why everything was smooth. And you'll see that they were allowed to continue because the initial edict was by Cyrus to allow them to rebuild the house of the Most High. I think the deeper you look into this, it really becomes deep because Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean king of Babylon, he destroyed the temple and deported the people to Babylon, right?
Exactly.
That was a punishment that the Most High put on Judah and our people as a nation because we wouldn't follow the ways of Yah. But when you look at it, Abraham was a Chaldean, right?
Abraham. Yep.
He came from Ur of Chaldea.
Mm-hmm.
So these are actually our relatives who's putting the beat down on us, right? But they know about us and our history, which is why I think Cyrus, king of Babylon, was moved in his heart by Yah to acknowledge that Yah is Yah, and I'm allowing your people to go back and build this temple. Those who had the heart to do it, which got the movement started, right?
Exactly.
But because we were divided, some people wanted to stay. Some people were critical of it. There was no unity for the nation of Israel to really bring it up to the full glory that was supposed to be brought up, which is why you got, you know, the enemies coming in there trying to stop them from doing this work, which they did. But I think they eventually achieved the fulfillment of it. But then it was destroyed again, over and over again.
Right.
But it's good to know this history because we see the procedures that they took to try to reestablish the order that the Most High gave us as a nation. And they ran into many obstacles, but they had friends along the way. So we see that Yah can move the hearts of other people to help us, and then he'll put obstacles, people that hate us, right in our path.
Truth
be told. We always
have
to put our trust in him.
Truth be told. You know, the tow truck driver, contrary to picked up my truck to take it to Goodyear, because that's why I got those tires that got a set, and I had a road warranty, that they're going to put a new tire on there, because all four tires were new, and I got the road warranty. So then my insurance is State Farm. Didn't have to pay anything. That's why I always tell people, get quality stuff. So they picked the tow truck, picked the truck up, and took it to Goodyear, and they didn't have the tire in stock. They said they're not going to have it to perhaps they had to ship to Nashville to get the tire. It's one of those Kelly tires, good tire. And I've had it with the tires for about maybe 9 months. And those tires are supposed to have a 2 year, 3 year warranty and 24,000 miles. I don't do that much traveling because of the fact I've never been gas happy. Only when I get behind the wheel, I get a little gas happy, but I don't be all over the spot. I go somewhere, I do what I need to do, and I get back to where I was coming from. And the tow truck driver, he said, "You moved?" I said, "Yeah, it's quiet out here." I said, "I got white folks on both sides and whatnot. I don't have no problem." He said, and he was white. He said, "Well," he said, "I don't like white folks." I looked at him, I did an Ima Hondura, huh? I said, "What you mean? What you mean? I stay in Orange Mound, and Orange Mound is where my baby mothers were from, Orange Mound. So it's in the hood, so to speak." I said, "What are you doing in the Mound, man?" "Oh, I don't even like white women." I said, "Oh, huh?" I said, "Well, I don't have no problem with them." But one thing he said stuck in my mind. He said, "You can't trust them." I said, "No." I want to say, coming from you, you ought to know. I said, "Bro, I ain't looking for no friends. I just looked to buy a house as an investment. Whatever the Most High called me, I'm going to sell out this investment, and I'm going to get to getting either it's going until the casket drops. I mean, it's just an investment for quiet neighborhood." I said, "I ain't looking for no friends. I ain't looking for no trouble. I just want some peace and quiet. That's all I want." And it's 16 miles from Memphis. It's about 12 minutes from Memphis. When I need to get to Memphis, I go to Memphis. Like in the case of me, had to go to Memphis to the Red Cross to pick up some material for this weekend because I'm on call. And I said, "I just want some peace." He said, "Well, don't trust him." I said, "Don't worry." I wanted to say, "I don't trust you either. Truth be told." I digress. I'm sorry, brother. I digress. I apologize, listeners. Cartrell?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I heard the story.
Okay.
But we gotta learn to put our trust in the Most High, man.
That's what I put
everybody
my trust
in. Themselves, right? Seems
yeah,
like.
That's what I put my trust in.
It's real out here, yo.
Yo, truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told. Well, let me ask you a question, Cartrell.
Yeah.
You know, people are celebrating all these idols and whatnot, Jesus and Buddha and Allah and all that. Can you give me a little synopsis on this little Jesus thing they got going, praise the Lord Jesus thing they got going on?
This is one of the many idols that our people are hooked up on. We got like an addiction. We don't want to give up these idols. That's what got our forefathers in trouble in the past. Most High commanded us as a nation that we should not worship idols. And you can find that in Exodus, the 20th chapter. A lot of people don't even know what the commandments are. What are the commandments? "I'm the Lord your God. Thou shalt not have any other God but me." No, that's not what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most High spoke these words. That's why they're commands, the Ten Commandments. These are
right.
What he spoke to our fathers. And he only spoke one time to them because they didn't want to hear him speaking to them again, which is why he sent prophets to speak his word to our nation, our people. So I'm going to read this real quick. And Elohim spoke all these words. I am Yah, your Elohim, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You, Israel, shall have no other gods before me. So who was he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel, who he just saved from Pharaoh with signs and wonders, gave Moses powers to defeat the greatest army on earth in the sight of Pharaoh, drown Pharaoh's army, and he made this pact with us. He said, all them gods that y'all used to worship in Egypt, don't worship them. Don't have no other god but me. So he's speaking to the children of Israel, which is why we don't worship idols. We know other nations worship idols. They got images of God, but we don't. He said, you shall not make for yourself an image, which is why we don't worship idols, in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. So where can you go outside of those boundaries? You got to have a good imagination to go outside these boundaries, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, those are commandments. Okay, if he gave you 10 commandments, why would he change his commandment? That'd make him look weak or stupid or something or whatnot.
Well,
so
you
why
know
would
he's
he change?
That.
Yeah, but we know he's not that. So either somebody's lying or somebody's lying on him. So either he don't lie, he hates liars. Either somebody lying or somebody lying on him. Oh, maybe both. What you think?
They lied on themselves because they're not reading this. And mm-hmm. You can lie to yourself, but the Most High is straightforward, and his message is clear. So you could try to juxtaposition what you want to fit into what he's saying, but we reading straight what he's saying. It's not my opinion. It's not my thought. This is not what I came up with. This is why we follow the Creator of heaven and earth. So let's not
right.
bow down to no kind of image. He said, you shall not bow down to them.
Yeah, they got their little crosses on them. And they told them by graven images, don't do that. They got their little crosses and whatnot. And I don't know how that fit into all of this. It don't stand to reason.
Yeah, you got to keep reading because it says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, Yah, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third or fourth generation of those that hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So we the commandment keepers. We're going to keep what Yah commanded us to do. You go ahead with your idols, your images, and the things that you hold on to, because Christianity is full of images. They got
man, so many images.
Mary. Statues of Peter, Paul, John, Susie, Mary.
And Saint this and Saint that. And
Lord, have mercy.
Man. Come on, man. The hot mess. And these so-called churches are derivative of that Roman Catholic Church. They came as a derivative. I think Calvin, the one, I think his name was Calvin. I don't know if I corrected, but if memory serves me correctly, he nailed a thing onto the church door of the Roman Catholic. And then, you know, they start all this Protestant stuff that's going on today as we speak. He said, we ain't doing this no more. We ain't doing this Roman Catholic thing no more. We're gonna lean to our own understanding the way we want to do it. So if these are a byproduct of the Roman Catholic Church, which was a product of what the Romans produced, who sacked our nation. Do you think for one good reason that I'm going to trust my enemy to give me a God? Come on now. Where they do that at? You're going to trust your enemy. The Roman Catholic Church and these churches that came after it are derivative, a byproduct of it. Something rotten. Ain't nothing but something rotten going to come out of it. I'm sorry, Cartier. I get beside myself. I do apologize.
This could be passionate, but you got to use reason and logic in order to understand the truth. Because people will get emotional and not see the truth. So I'm going to take you to the book of Matthew, the New Testament, chapter 2 in the book of Matthew. We just read that God, the Most High God, brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He said we should have no other God. We should not worship idols, right?
Right.
So Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, we already know that he was a baby, right? He can't be God if he was born in Jerusalem in Judea. He can't be God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Why would you come to worship a baby because you've seen a star in the east that's telling you that he's king of the Jews? We didn't worship our kings, did we? Brother Yasu?
Yes, yes, my brother.
Did we worship our king?
No, we didn't worship our king.
Wise men from Jerusalem, when you go into somebody's house to worship a king, the only king you're supposed to worship is the king of heaven and earth.
That's a Roman Catholic. That's a Roman mess. That's a Roman stuff. That ain't us.
So to worship a man, it shows you that what Matthew is writing is off. So he says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, you already given this baby a title, right? Christ. Why are you calling him Christ? He was never anointed, right? That's where you get the word Mashiach, or you get Christ out of the word Mashiach, which is Christ. This child was never anointed. Anointed to do what? They already given him a title, which shows some fallacy. And they say unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, but thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule over my people. So this is not talking about a god, whatever prophecy they're trying to link into. You worship in somebody that's going to be governor and ruler over the people of Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Why would the king want to worship a child? This is crazy. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east was before them, till they came and stood over the young child where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Are y'all crazy? And when they had opened their eyes, their treasure, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So who gave them the dream? The baby or God?
Okay, the baby.
Why are you worshiping the baby if God is talking to you and you get the heck up out of there? And when they departed, behold, the angel of Yah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So in their own story that the Most High got to protect this baby boy that people want to worship as God. Why would God have to protect this young child if he is God himself?
Exactly. The whole story is ludicrous.
It is really ludicrous.
And I'm going to tell you this. Based upon Roman concept of myth, you know, the Romans were good with idols, and they saw. Here's what the Romans saw in conquering Jerusalem. They saw a nation of people that was controlled by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know they good. They even good right now at it. They say, well, look here, and we can get something like that. Imagine how we can control the people. Imagine how we can manipulate the people. Imagine how we can get the people to move in unison, just like those Yehudites and Benjamites and Levites. So why don't we just create a little fairy tale and just use them and then just make up something that's going to work for us. And then we can go to the council on the scene and we can decide how we go operate this and whatnot. We take out what we want to take out, add in a little hocus pocus and whatnot, how we want to add in. And then thus we got our Roman Catholic Church. Come on now, people. Don't you got any common sense? The storyline don't even work. The story don't even work with the original story. The new story don't work in conjunction nor juxtaposition to the old story in no shape, form, or fashion. Now, you'd have made the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of a bald-faced liar. You'd have made him out of some weak old man that don't know what he want to do, when he want to do it. You'd have made him say, hey, well, he didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean don't worship no idols, that we can have all the idols we want. He didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean that you don't go to bow down and worship nobody but me. No, he didn't really mean that. So he kind of old, you know. No, see what it is. See, you lying on the Most High. And you're fabricating stories in order to do so. I'm sorry, Contreras. You know, I do get beside myself. My apologies.
And this is a subject matter that our people really need to dig in deep into. And we've been covering a lot of how Yah feels about idols in the books we've read, in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and in the book of Ezekiel. And I'll give you a few just to remind you. Jeremiah 2. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Second chapter of Jeremiah.
Oh, you finna go there? You finna go there to read?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Jeremiah 2. Okay. Say no more. Do you want me to read it or are you going to read it?
You can read it. I'm going to let you read it. You got the fire and the passion up in you.
Oh, whatever. So you're going to put it to good use. Okay. May you be blessed by the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, listeners. Moreover, the word of the Elohim came to me, saying, go and cry to the hen of Jerusalem. Say, thus said the Elohim, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Elohim, the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Elohim. Hear the words of the Elohim, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus said the Elohim, what injustice have your fathers found in me? They have gone far from me, and have followed idols, and have become idolatrous. Neither did they say, where is the Elohim who brought us out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and pits, through a land of drought and a shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat fruit and its goodness. And when you entered, you defiled my land. You made my heritage an abomination. My priest did not say, where is the Elohim? Those who handled the laws did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal idols and walked after things that do not profit them anything. Therefore, I will bring charges against you, says the Elohim, against your children and your children's children. I will bring charges for for pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see. Send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Has the nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Elohim. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and have hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is she a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roar at him and growl. They made his land waste. His cities were burned without inhabitants. And the people of North and Tophanes in Egypt have broken the crown of your head. And have you not bought this on yourself? And that you have forsaken the Elohim, your Yah, when he led you in the way? And now, why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Shihor? You're going after their idols. Why take the road to Assyria? You're going after their idols to drink the waters of the river. Your wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and a bitter thing what you're doing, that you have forsaken the Elohim, your Yah, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Elohim Yah of hosts. For of old, I have broken your yoke. I released you from the Egyptians and burst your bonds. I released you from the Egyptians. And you say, I would not transgress, but went on every high hill and under every tree. You lay down playing the hoe. I mean, she didn't say hoe, the harlot. Same thing. With every idol. Yet I planted you a noble vine, a seed of high quality, the best of the best. How then have you turned from me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? I don't even know you. For though you have washed yourself with lye and used much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Elohim Yah. How can I say I'm not polluted? I have not gone after the balls, the idols. See, your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift, demontry, breaking loose in her way, donkey. A wild donkey, used to the wild. You used to something nasty. You used to something ugly that sniffs the wind and hurt his eye in a time of mating. Who can turn her away? Who can turn her away? She's whoring after everything. You donkeys? He calling us donkeys. All those who seek her will not weary themselves, because she's going to run after. In her mouth, they will find her. In her mouth, they will find her. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. No, I have loved Ada. I've loved other gods. And after them, I will go. Forget you, Elohim, Yah. I love other gods. And after them, I will go whoring too. As a thief is ashamed when he is found, so the house of Israel is ashamed. And they and their kings and their princesses and their priests and the prophets, saying to the tree, you are my father, saying to an idol, you are my father, saying to a stone, you gave birth to me. for they have turned their back to me and not their face. Now, in time of trouble, their trouble, they will say, arise and save us, O Elohim Yah. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise, that they can save you in the time of your trouble. But according to the numbers of your cities, are your gods of Yehuda, O tribe of Yehuda? You, as many cities you got, as many gods you got in them cities. Why will you plead to me in your time of trouble? You have transgressed against me, says the Elohim. In vain, I have chastised you. I have beat the brakes off your children. In vain. They received no correction. They weren't corrected. Your sword has devoured your prophets. You've killed your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Elohim. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness that I bring you to that? Why do my people say, we are lords? We will come no more to you. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without numbers. Why do you beautify your ways to seek love? Why are you going to make yourself look good to seek false idols that ain't going to serve you? Therefore, you have also taught the wicked women their ways. You've taught other nations their ways. You've taught other nations to follow after idols. Also, on your skirt is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocent by your following these idols that I didn't ask you to do. I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. Yet you said, because I am innocent, I'm innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me, because I'm innocent. I ain't did no wrong. I can follow these idols. I'm innocent. Behold, I will plead my case against. I will be the lawyer against you, Israel and Yehuda. I will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. I followed all every idol from the Egyptians to the Assyrians, even now the Roman Catholic. And you said to yourself, I ain't did nothing wrong. But the Most High said, I'm going to be a lawyer against you. Why do you gather about such to change your way? Why do you go about to change your way? I didn't tell you to do none of those things. Your enemies have told you to do those things. You've taken up their idols. I didn't tell you to do none of that. Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria and not idols. Indeed, you will go forth from him with your hands on your head, for the Elohim have rejected your trusted allies, and you will not prosper by them and not idols. Truth be told. All right. You know I get into it, brother.
All right, just Godre. A reminder, because we've been through these prophets, and this is light compared to what Ezekiel said about us, right? And Isaiah, Yah is furious because we serve idols. So you ask me why we don't worship Jesus or Buddha or Allah? Trust me, you're walking on dangerous territory when you do.
Truth be told, you're putting your life in your own hands, and then you're saying, I ain't did nothing wrong, I'm innocent. I ain't did nothing wrong. I didn't deal with the Syrians told me. I didn't deal with the Egyptians did. I didn't deal with the Roman Catholics told me to do. I ain't did no wrong. You better check yourself or you wreck yourself. All right, brother. Let us bring on lovely Ima Hadara. Ima Hadara, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Ima. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, shalom, family. May the Most High bless you both. Hallelujah. All praise. And may he bless all of Israel far and near. And I pray that he open Israel's eyes and their ears, and more so their hearts to receive his word and give them the heart to return back to him. You know, the young man that in Minnesota.
Yes, it's a hot mess.
How sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's interesting how we were fast. We would run to the streets seeking justice from my enemy. You know, big.
They don't give you none.
Strong.
They ain't give you none of 400 years. About what make them think they'll give some now? They ain't give them none of 400 years. If they wanted to stop, they would have been to stop.
And in doing all of that, Israel's solution is really very simple. Until as the word says, Yah's word accomplished everything he sends it to do. And in the book of Hosea, it says, as long as we continue to walk in charity, God, he will allow us to keep bringing forth our children to the murderer, even though we're planted in a pleasant place. But, we would do everything but what Yah told us to do. Yah said, there is no one or nothing that can deliver you out of my hand. So the only one that holds the key to our problem is God. Anything outside of that, it's just not going to work. Because it is Yah whom we stand against, and it is Yah who has to forgive us, and it is Yah whom we have to go before and tell him we're sorry as his people. But once again, we can't get stuff out the way. And every time something like this happens, we get all up in the uproar, go tear up our neighborhoods, burn down the stores in our neighborhoods. But, and then we wonder what we're going to do now. You see, because we're still in the hands of this beast. It's just off of the chain. Concerning this chapter, many of our people don't know is that the major prophets are basically Ezra, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of those prophets was doing the Babylonian, they was all caught up in that Babylonian captivity. So they're speaking from the aspects of, they're speaking from their experience during their time in Babylon, as well as speaking to future events concerning our people today. Cyrus was anointed, as if we can remember, in Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Yah anointed Cyrus. Even though Cyrus didn't know him, Yah called him forth to be his Mashiach during that time. Because what does it say? Cyrus, my anointed. And anointed just means, Messiah just means anointed. Anointed means Messiah or Mashiach. So, God's word is not complicated. And as he said, we've served these other, in some parts of the book, it's known as idols. So I'd like to get to the real crux of the matter. These other gods. These gods are real. They're not no joke. They're not just something that have no power because they've got power. If it was not so, the Almighty wouldn't have to keep warning us about them. You see? So it's not to downplay it. No, let's keep it on the up and up. These gods are real. If not so, Yah would not have to have contended with them when he brought us up out of our forefathers up out of the land of Egypt. As it stated, not only am I going to send a death angel through, but I'm also going to contend with the gods of Egypt. As the Almighty says, in these latter days, he's going to contend with the gods underneath these heavens. You see? So, everything that Ezra, that our people that have experienced in Babylon, in Assyria, And this last captivity is worse than all because we are experiencing everything of all the captivities put together. So therefore, we don't have no hope, Israel, but he is our only hope. He's not just our hope. He is our only hope. He is our only salvation. And we can go out there and ride and raise all kind of hell and burn up our neighborhoods and tear down our neighborhoods. And we lose going to have people lose their lives in the process, and others going to be thrown in jail in the process. And at the end of the day, we're going to end up going back talking about God love everybody. Huh?
And hugging the police officer in the middle of the courtroom.
And taking them cookies, you know. And all my only thing we have to do again, I know I sound like a broken record, and that's only because we just don't understand. The only thing the Almighty told us to do that's going to help us is what? We turn back to Him and tell Him we're sorry. And we said how we get around that. First thing we say out of our mouth is, well, we do that every day. We've already done that. We do that. But how can that be? Because obviously, if we've done it, where's the proof of it?
Exactly.
You see? So, and to say what, instead of really digging deep to understand what God's saying and what He's given, what we do, we rationalize it all away, justify it. Well, you know, we've got temples and we do this and young, poor, and all of that. Everything's out of order. There is no order any place. Nothing what Yah has put in place is in order. And yet we say this is what we're doing. But if just to give a visual as to what Yah would do for us, if we would just gather the way we gather to give these other gods their praise, we would just gather for our God to tell them we're sorry. What do you think would happen? And that's all he has required of us. We had a session yesterday, and we were talking about the Shabbat and the feast days again, and what is iniquity and what does it take for us to return back to Yah. But Yah's words are precise. And it was said, well, you know, he hints here and he hints at this over there. Yah don't hint at all. He is very precise with his words. And not only is he precise, he's repetitive over and over and over again. And as it was stated earlier, God have an issue with Israel because of these other gods. All through, I just like to read something like quick, and he's repetitive. It doesn't make any difference where you go in the Word. In Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, the Almighty says, in this wise, hold on 1 minute. When the men shall say, why have Yah done this? Even all the nations, Deuteronomy 29:24, shall say, wherefore have Yah done thus into this land? What means the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yah, their God, the God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Not what He made with them in Genesis. Not what He made with them with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of Yah was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And Yah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. What got us rooted out the land? Worshiping those other gods. Let's see if the words of God has changed in the prophet Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. And I'm going to start with the 10th verse, if I may. And it reads in this wise, and it shall come to pass, for you shall show this people all these words, and they shall say unto you, wherefore have Yah pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Yah, our God? Then shall you say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, said Yah, and have walked after other gods. Here it is again. And have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me. Huh? What part of this is complicated? What part is it that we don't understand and have not kept my law? And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not listen unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land you know not, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I would not show you favor. Huh? So it's not a matter of us talking about, well, we don't understand, we don't know what we did. Almighty told you what you did. But a father said, and what we continue to do to this day, every man is walking according to the dictates of their own heart. Everybody saying what they're doing is right. That's why you end up with 10 different Shabbat, 10 different times when it's Shabbat stores, 10 different ways when it's about how you're supposed to carry out the Shabbat. Even though you don't have no priests, no sacrifice, no lighting in the menorah, nothing, but you care now. You got 10 different ways you're going to do the Shabbat. You got 20 different days for the feast days, but they're all supposed to be celebrating the same day. Huh? And we don't even see the error of our ways. And in the meantime, doing all of this foolishness, our children, we are steady bringing forth our children to the mother. And we don't see it. And that's why a program such as this is needed, to repeat it over and over and over again. And it's not for because you think that you're going to save anybody. You can't save nobody. You're only doing what Yah has instructed you to do. As he says in Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, go and seek justice, Yah. Whether they will hear or whether they won't listen, but tell them anyway. They're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me, but tell them anyway. So that's why we keep telling you, our sisters and brothers. That's why we keep speaking the word of God. Because one day, prayerfully, it'll land in the right place, which is in your heart, in your spirit, and have you to turn around and return back to our God. Because, again, as the great prophet Jeremiah, who said, Father, you have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return to you, God. All through the word of God, he's telling us to return back to him. So we got to return back to him where we've been. You see? So I'm saying to Israel, that brother in Minnesota, the summer is just getting ready to come in. That's just going to be one of many that are yet to come. As you know, we keep crying, we keep complaining, we keep raising hell, but we won't do the very one thing. We won't do the one thing to resolve all of our issues, and that is to return back to our God and tell him we're sorry. We want to play church with Yah. Yah ain't about no church. Religion is an enemy to our people. It's an enemy, Israel, to our people. The Almighty didn't give us no religion. He gave us statutes, laws, and judgments and commandments. You know, that's another thing. I want to end with this. They were saying yesterday about the commandments. Well, the Shabbat, and that's where another road that we go off on, you know, go in the wrong direction, because the commandments include the Shabbat. But the Shabbat, if we are mindful of the word of God, was a sign between him and Israel forever. That time was to let everybody know that Israel was set apart. And the reason why Israel, every time you talk about you doing a Shabbat in this land, you're doing your Shabbat, you're not doing the Shabbat of Yah, because Yah don't get no glory. The reason why the Shabbat was given in the land of Yah, and the Almighty gave this to me in my spirit, and I'm sharing it, it's because Yah, many of our people want to run back to Genesis to support keeping the Shabbat, because it says in Genesis, Yah rested on the seventh day. Yes, it said Yah rested. It didn't say anything about man. It said Yah rested. The Shabbat is not mentioned again until Exodus, when Yah brought Israel up out of the land of Egypt. And then while he was speaking to them in the wilderness, he gave them his judgment, statutes, commandments, and Shabbat. And the reason why he gave it to you, Israel, is because God chose that land. He made a covenant with the land before he made it with you. And once you entered into the land, Yah rested on the seventh day, and so now he gave you that rest as part of your inheritance. So when you rested, the whole land rested, because Yah was in that land. His presence, his name, his glory was in that land, and he gave you the same thing that he had for himself. And once you got cast out of that land, as he said, you weren't worthy of his Shabbat anymore. He could get back. So for all of those that think you're keeping the Shabbat, over here in the land of your captivity, your slave master's giving you your Shabbat. That's the Shabbat you celebrate. Because it works at 6 days out of labor, but the seventh day is holy unto Yah. And everybody shall rest. The whole land shall rest on that day. Well, now this man over here, your slave master, he said, y'all can work 5 days and I'm going to give you 2 days off. What's the difference? So y'all's not getting the glory, even to the point where you don't mind coming forth and saying, well, I went to my employer, I told him I can't work on no Shabbat, so I asked him if I could be off. Huh? We got to wake up, Israel. The summer's getting ready to kick in, and all hell is getting ready to break loose. And you best get ready and be prepared. As it is stated in the word of Yah, he is our sanctuary during this time of his wrath. But we better get right with our God. We better get right with our God. It ain't about you, Israel. It ain't about your position or your self-exaltation or your charismatic approach or your ability to gather others to hear what you got to say. It's about Yah and you get right with our God. If there's all these charismatic folks that got the ears of our people, whether it's pastors, preachers, professors, intellectuals, whatever, whoever got your ear, guess what? They can't do no more for you than they can do for themselves. If they can't deliver you, how are they going to deliver? I mean, deliver themselves, how are they going to deliver you? Can't nobody undo this thing but our God. And I beg us here, for our children's sake, let us stop passing this legacy of death on to our children. Let us return that to our God. Let us cry out to him and tell him we're sorry. If we do to this white man anything wrong, we go up in his court. We don't mind telling him we're sorry. Oh, Your Honor, please forgive me, Your Honor. But the only one that is worthy of our apology, which is our Creator, and our actions, we're saying he's not even worthy. He's not even worthy for us to say we're sorry. Please forgive us. So I thank you for allowing me to speak, Brother Yemsu. Giving all praise to the Most High God. And I pray that his words are carried on the wind and that our people can hear. They can. I pray that Yah open their ears to hear. I pray that he open their eyes to see. I pray that he open their hearts to receive and to repent of our wickedness and all that we do to keep us alienated from our God and out of our land. And as we give no thought to our land, as we reject our land and try to make these lands of our captivity the land of inheritance, what we're doing the same thing our fathers did when the Almighty said he would be our king. We said, no, we don't want you as our king. We want somebody else that we can touch and see. We are still rejecting our God. Because to reject our land is to reject where Yah chose to place his name. It's also to reject the place where Yah's glory descended and rested in that land. So return, Israel. Repent. Much love to you all. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Imam Dora. Now we have Sister Abby from New York City. I think she has a few words to share with us. Sister Abby, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. May the Most High bless you, young Sister, and Sister Hula and Brother Contria. You know,
may the Most High bless you.
Thank you. It throws me through the loop every time when you start talking about the churches and JC. It takes me back to all the years I wasted. And just the other day, I went to the mailbox, and behold, I got a letter from one of those churches telling me they missed my participation, I haven't been sending my tithes. I took that letter and threw it in the garbage. I don't have time for that mess. But and then another thing Sister was saying was about these, I think it was, about how these people are treating each other and everything, but about the religion, that's what it was. You know, I have tried Christianity, I tried Muslim, I tried, there's another one, I tried the 7 days or whatever that is.
Jehovah's Witness or something like that.
Yeah, I've tried and nothing sat right with me. But yet and still, I kept sending tithes to this one Christian church, but I stopped. But my thing is, with the Muslim thing that always got to me, when they say you can't talk to the men and the women have to be over there in a certain area and the men over there, I got to wondering, like you always talking before, then why did God put Adam and Eve in the same garden if they're not supposed to be together? That didn't make no sense to me either. So it took me years to really feel comfortable and know who I am and to know I am Yah's daughter, and he's the only God that I need to serve. And no, I can't even stand the little letter T because it looked too much like a cross for me. So I'm just listening. I'm glad to get this information to just keep leading me in the right path. And I do have one request, and that is I want y'all to keep my daughter in prayer. She goes into surgery tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So I trust, and while she was here, we prayed. She's feeling all right. I'm feeling comfortable. All the prayers still be there for her. So please keep her in your prayer. And
okay,
with that,
okay,
I just say good night. Shalom.
What's her name?
Oh, Durrett. Her name is Durrett.
D-E-Durrett.
Like
one
a beret. It's
the
like
that
a beret.
The one that you that brought you.
Yes, that one. I only have one daughter.
Okay, the one that bought you the cake that you didn't share with me. Okay, thank you. I will.
Listen now. You want to put it out like that, but you always saying don't call you to call you, but don't call you late for dinner. However you say it, but I called you and told you your plate was ready and your cake was on the side, and you never did get it. So you can't blame me, brother.
Whatever, Abby. Yeah. And we will pray for the rat, okay? We will pray for
all right.
Thank you, Sister Abby.
Hello.
Cartrell or Imadora, y'all mind asking, either one of you mind asking a prayer for Durrett, Sister Abby's daughter going to surgery tomorrow?
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Koko vota le ka Yahweh Zevaot, enki mo ka b'ko ha-shamayim, b'ko ha-artis. Great King of the Universe, call upon you at this hour to even hear our prayers, hear our cries, and even be with us, Yah. We ask that thou would even guide the skillful hands of the surgeons, the doctors that are even dealing with our sister Abiyah's daughter, Durrett, even tomorrow morning, Yah. We pray that thou would even send forth thy guardian angels, even Raphael, thy healer, that thou would even cause their work to be a success, that she would come back to full health and full strength, that she may give praise, honor, and glory to your holy name. Thank you for even hearing us and even entertaining our prayer, Yah. All honor and praise belong unto you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Cartrell, have you got a lovely song, Psalms to take us on out of here?
There's so many, yes. There's so much to choose from. We go to the 81st.
Okay.
Anybody got there?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing aloud unto Elohim our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Elohim of Yahquoth. Take a song and bring hither to the timbal, the pleasant harp and the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed in our solemn feast days. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the Elohim of Yahquoth. This he ordained in Yosef for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed from his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me,
neither shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am Yah the Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fulfill it. But my people would not hear or hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Yisrael had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of Yah should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to thank my brother, Cartria from New York City. I want to thank Imar Dora from St. Louis, Missouri. I want to thank Sister Abia from New York. And I want to let her know that we care about her and her daughter. And as Cartria prayed, we did this for you because you asked, and we love you. And we want you, you know, I'll love your daughter and let her know we love her. And we're praying for her, and we're praying for you to have peace of mind. And also, most importantly, I want to thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Without him, there is no me, and there is no you. And so I want to give all praise and thanksgiving and to Yaqub, Yah, the God of Yaqub, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as far as what Imar Hador was saying, you're looking for solutions from the wrong place. You can run to your enemies, your oppressors, all you want. You can yell and demand for justice all you want. You've been doing for 400 years and still counting, and never you received any. If they wanted the things to stop happening to you, it would have stopped happening to you. If they didn't want the KKK here, there wouldn't be any KKK. If they didn't want police officers pretending to be police officers, hiding in uniform, killing you, it wouldn't happen. It stands the reason that, to believe that they want it to happen. But you won't seek any answers from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You won't receive any answers from your local and state government. There will be always Brother Floyd's, Trayvon Martin's, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, and so on and so forth. Until the moment you wholeheartedly turn to your God and ask him for solutions. Do what he requests of you. Therein lies your answer and your solution. As long as you're looking for any other entity to solve your problems will remain unsolved. And as Imar Hadora said, you will continue to act in futile, burning up your neighborhoods, getting killed, and still no solutions. You know, the definition of insanity, according to Alcoholic Anonymous, is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And that's what we are doing. We suggest that you do what your God asks you to do. You humble yourself. You turn to him wherever you are. You turn to him. You ask him to solve your problems. And I can assure you, listeners, your problems will be solved. That being said, I don't know where you're going. As Imar Hadora said, it's going to be a long, hot summer if you don't get your minds right. But you're finna get ready to get out of here. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Your thinkers are what got you in the situation you're in right now, universally speaking. All suffering together, with their knees collectively upon all our necks. When will you understand When will you understand? Individual pursuits of excellency is not the question. A universal effort of unification to turn toward the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, asking him to forgive us, calling out him to hear us for forgiveness of our forefathers and ourselves, and requesting solutions. We love you. Shalom.
I'm not just going out to put you in. All these problems, that they just did. Tie me down. I don't start to be cool for him. Let's say, no matter what you need, what you find, no matter
how you do it.
Let's say, you know, the best thing, I don't tire.
Girl is knocking on your door cause you're listening. You stand right next to us so we get space between. Repentance, acceptance, deliverance is what I plead to practice. Good things we say and tell others in need, but we destroy. The precious time of power we possess, you do not see. Empties, we are on stage, cause God wants us to be. It has been given to you as a sign of responsibility. So before you pick up the mic and battle seriously. What is the mission? There's definitely one for each one of us. Pay attention, it's a call up. We got to win souls, now send them lust. It is evil standing right next to us, taking control, watching us. The devil always seeking for souls, kneeling us to take your sword. People, this is the word of God. It's about giving up, showing love, doing love, living love, making love. This is the major issue. He said we let the spirit down and your mind. Take a look properly. It's the power that holds us onto one joint, one point. But we only want to see punishment. But we don't believe in ourselves, so we can trust the fact of believing. Little comfortable, too suitable, too valuable, and push away love a neighbor. But I am what I am, and many may say, baby, truthful to yourself and do me the favor. Stop, lean back, breathe, and look at your life for you. Jezebel, Judas, his Barnabas, prophets, men of God, prostitutes, pope, teachers, lawyers, all you scholars, rulers, chosen few, all of you, and rise and spell love. It's about loving love, showing love, doing love, living love, being love. It's just a major issue. He said, we let the spirit down and the mind takes over. It's about loving love, showing love, doing love, living love.
Let the spirit down and the mind.